I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chance to right center field, and Arise ends Cease's chance at history.
Hey, White Sox fans, can you believe it?
One hitter from Dylan Cease. Brett Ballantini here, lucky enough to host Southside Sox post-game podcast number 12. It's usually for crazy things. I believe number 2 was for a no-hitter, Carlos Rodon. This is close. And I'm going to say one of us, just one guest here, one of us was at the ball game, one of us wasn't. Just try to guess based on our voice condition who was there and who wasn't. It's Allie Wessel. Again, she couldn't stay away. She's right back for another podcast because, hey, guess what? Allie got her, I believe, first one-hitter under her belt by being at the ball game tonight.
Yep, that would be correct.
So, all right. Well, let's skip right to the big moment. Everybody's trained on Dylan. He is two strikes away, strikeout wise. Definitely in position for no hitter. 1-1 count on Arias, and disaster happens. You're trained in on that play. Did you know right away? What was the crowd reaction? Gasp? Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think the frustrating part about that hit was that it was a solid hit. There was no like, oh, he could have gotten that, or, you know, I wish someone could have been there. Like, it was a solid hit through that first base gap, and you know, there was nothing you could do. I don't know. I'm just a little frustrating. Like, really, you got to be that guy with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning, or top of the ninth inning. Like, come on, Luis. Yeah. Of course, too, it's like the hottest hitter probably, you know, across the league. So it's just, that was frustrating. But also, you know, Dylan, I think, went on the post game and said, like, he didn't want to walk Luis. Like, he wanted to go at him, and he went at him, and he lost the battle, and he lost the no hitter. So that's the game of baseball.
Yeah. 640 expected batting average. So really only one hit, only one piece of contact from the Twins all night. Had a more likely to drop for hit. That's Celestino's ground out in the third inning, apparently just smacked really hard. Yeah, 102.9 miles per hour. But yeah, I think in the Bird app, I called it a duck snort just because I wanted to somehow degrade it. But no, that was no duck snort. That was 100 mile an hour contact. And even though it didn't have a lot of distance, so it sort of looked a little bit like a flare. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about that. And so did the place just deflate?
No, I think the place was really, really supportive of Dylan Cease. Mm-hmm. Like, you could see the wind kind of was taken out of Dylan, and he was very visibly upset. I think he kind of didn't know what to do with himself. He knew what was happening. And the whole stadium started chanting Dylan at that point. It was incredible. Like, I think everyone was behind him, and with the season he's been having, everyone was disappointed, obviously, but everyone was also like, that was his first complete game, and that's his first complete game shutout. So I think, you know, take away that he blew the no hitter, like, at the end of the day, that's still an incredible start. And I think that's exactly what he needed, especially after these last couple of starts he's had.
Yeah, now that I mentioned it, Allie, you know, let's get away from the game for a second. I mean, this is two in a row now. He went into the eighth. It was like I guess he's going to pitch like a 12-inning game next because he just keeps extending. I mean, he set his personal mark just last game with 8 innings, you know, because he's not known as an efficient pitcher. Tonight, only a lot of early contact. He's getting guys to bite, you know, pretty early, even a lot of like first pitch contact. And I don't think it's because they liked what they saw. I think they're like, okay, it's close enough. I got to swing. But this is a guy now who's going from, you know, somebody who's like really great, you know, like that kind of, I hate to throw this word out, it's the first guy that comes to mind, like a Nolan Ryan, just like inefficiency, just crazy talent, but, you know, not efficient in the least, at least early in his career. Now Dylan Cease is becoming like a pitcher. I mean, the Cy Young talk, maybe coincidental earlier in the season, but now it's no longer. I mean, this guy is putting himself in a position perhaps even to be, at this point, the front runner for the Cy Young because of outings like these last two, because this isn't just five amazing innings, maybe one hit, two hit ball. It's like, wow, 12 strikeouts. But then, you know, he leaves the pen to cover four innings. He's taking it all the way now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think tonight really showed that he doesn't need to strike out everyone to have a good outing. I think a lot of Dylan's, you know, previous outings are, I need to be this guy that strikes out double digit batters, and that's going to get your pitch count up. And tonight, like, I think he went into the seventh inning, he was at like 66 pitches or something like
really
that.
Long. Yeah. Even going,
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Even going into the ninth, he's, I think, 92 or something. It's like, holy, I mean, he can even have sort of a, like a bad inning or inefficient. You may walk a couple guys, and he's pretty much going to get a chance to finish this game.
Yeah.
He's
exactly.
So low.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that I was really impressed with was, he only walked two batters. That's something that I know he struggled with in the past as well. And that's been, you know, in the conversation, you know, when you talk about him being in that Cy Young conversation, his walks and that being an issue has always been a con to him getting votes for Cy Young. Mm-hmm. And I think just seeing that he only had two, obviously zero walks is ideal, but he was able to work around those two walks as well, which I think was really impressive.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get back to the game. And, you know, this isn't like a 1-0 squeaker where everybody's just focused on the two guys on the mound or whatever. There's a ton of crazy fireworks going, big crooked numbers in three different innings, at least two before there had to be too much buzz about a no hitter. So with all the things to distract and, you know, it's whatever halfway to St. Pete, you know, everybody's wearing green. It's crazy. You know, I'm sure the beverages are flowing. So, I mean, at what point, you know, you, of course, Allie, a very astute observer of the game, probably were right on it. But I mean, when was there starting to be a little bit of a buzz about, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah. So Jackie Krestel, she sent a DM to a group chat very early in the game. I think it was like the third or the fourth inning. And she said, is Dylan doing something? To which then I, you know, she didn't say anything. Uh-huh. She insinuated something, to which I perceived. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd say after I got that DM, I was like, something might be happening. But I really didn't like grasp onto the idea of this might be a special evening until probably like the fifth or the sixth inning, because four innings of no hit baseball, I feel like is not really impressive. Like, how many times have the Sox,
right,
you know, not gotten a hit in the first four innings?
Yeah. Good perspective.
So, you know, after about the fifth or sixth inning, I was like, okay, this actually might be happening. Yeah. So that was really special. But also, Romy Gonzalez got his first major league home run tonight. So I don't want to, I know this game is kind of being overshadowed by Dylan Cease, but congrats to him, because that's, you know, huge.
Yeah, he saw that hanger and he just jumped it. I mean, that wasn't a cheapie. So that's one that, you know, you're going to remember it no matter what, but it's not one that's like, oh, well, you know, that was no charity there. Although the pitch maybe was a charity. That was a very sweet breaking ball that broke sort of the wrong way. The rumor, Jackie Krestel. Oh, she was supposedly at the game, but we're not hearing from her now. So she was documented at that game.
She was. She was. Jordan was also there. I saw both of them.
As far as I know, we have Tyrone as well was there, because he was coming into the game predicting that they were White Sox were going to lose, because I believe his record going into the games this season, 0-6. So I think it's 1-6 now. We had some decent representation. Of course, the birthday girl, by the way, happy birthday, Allie. Thank you. The birthday girl shows up for the post-game podcast, and you know, everybody else, were they sleeping? Come on, Jackie. You're still young. Come on. And you got your green shirt. So come on.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did not get a green shirt. We did not get there in time, but it's all good in the hood, because we got the win. So that's all that matters.
So your sister from another mister, it's Jackie Krestel with the early word. And even you're like, wait, MLB doesn't even like start doing the little no hitter like bug thing on game day until like six innings. So you know, simmer down, Jackie. But, you know, okay, she hipped you to it, and you're like, okay, aware. But was that sort of the vibe, too, once we're getting maybe to this? Maybe we're getting through about two-thirds of the game. People are starting to, you know, there's a little bit more whisper. And then at some point, probably when he's going out there, you know, everybody's sort of glued, you know, between him and the scoreboard. Yeah, it still says zero hits. Okay, yep. All right, still. And, yeah, that's – and had you been in a position like that at a game before where you're like, hey, what is going on? You know, that kind of scoreboard watching?
I've been at a couple of walk-offs, but I've never been in like a no-hitter perfect game situation. I've been at walk-offs where I'm like on the edge of my seat, like what is going to happen next? But this was a different level of like anxiety. Like my heart was beating so fast, and I just wanted so badly for him to get that, and obviously it didn't work out. And but I do think, you know, there I think there's definitely one in his future for sure.
Especially if he can continue with this efficiency. Now, again, this could just be some weird, like, you know, blurb. It's an anomaly in his career, but, you know, it is just these last two where he's gone really, truly deep into games. But yeah, if he can find a way to, you know, just sort of like modulate himself so it doesn't always have to be blow them away stuff. I don't want to say let them hit it, but I mean, you know, use your defense and be a little bit more efficient with his pitch counts, which he hasn't really been into at least this season. I mean, that was the big, you know, ding on Dylan was, hey, you know, okay, great stuff and an incredible promise, but wow, is he ever going to be able to consistently get past the fifth inning? Because, you know, to date, at least until this year, he hasn't been able to do that. Now what we're seeing from him is a guy who's like really, you know, truly like a master of the art. And, you know, it's wonderful to see, you know, the confidence he has, like even Rosenthal, I think, at, you know, on the field post game was saying, like, you know, the long eighth inning, right, you know, huge time for him to sit, you know, while, you know, the Sox are mauling a position player, position players pitching and hitting home runs, which can only
they knew exactly what they were doing. There's no reason. I am all for a position player going into pitch and like a 10-0 blowout or something like that. But I guess personally, I'm not comfortable with seven runs. And I think that copping out, I felt like it was a cop out. It was we know what's going on the other end of this game. Let's throw this position player in to exactly that, get a longer inning.
So it really was sort of an equivalent of bunting for a hit. That's always controversial. Bunting for hits, say in the ninth, you know, earlier in that, okay, fine. But, you know, like if Arise had like bunted for that hit, you'd be like, oh my God, that is the cheesiest way to break up a no hitter, you know, legal, whatever, just like, you know, throwing the position player. So you think it was more Baldelli gamesmanship to try to, you know, okay, game's lost, but we don't want the opponent to have anything to really cheer about any more than just a win.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was the sentiment that I felt around me and that like I really felt because I was two rows behind the Twins bullpen and there were plenty of guys sitting there like you know, waiting to go. So, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So, Rocco better use like eight pitchers tomorrow. Otherwise, yes, your storyline starts to gain a little bit more weight because, you know, hey, I mean, the argument you can make is, hey, you don't want to, you know, and burn guys even for one inning. Come on. Or how many innings? What was it? The last couple innings or you have two position players?
I think it was the last two or three innings. Because Sanchez, so Melee, from my understanding, left with some shoulder inflammation.
Yeah, he was out early.
He only made it like two or three innings. And then Sanchez took over like four innings, I think, three or four at least. And then that's when they threw Nick Gordon in. And then I don't know who came in after him. I lost track. I was more focused on what Dylan was doing, but, right. Good news for our bullpen. We're well rested for tomorrow on the off chance that Giolito needs some help. So,
yeah. And that's just it. You know, everybody's feeling great. And I guess, you know, that's where we'll shift to here because, you know, obviously, the White Sox, as quickly as they fell, as many as what, six or seven out, have gotten right back into it. Cleveland, his pitching has fallen apart. Cannot hit. I mean, forget pitching. They haven't scored a run in like 13 games. You know, Minnesota, obviously running into a buzzsaw with the White Sox on the road. And the White Sox are able to get right back into it as soon as they, you know, as quickly as they fell out of it. And, you know, it helps that this division is awful, but, you know, you also have to win games. You know, you got to beat the teams in front of you. And the White Sox are in position to improbably sweep Minnesota tomorrow with all the momentum in the world. We saw a real distinct, surprising lack of fight, given that the season started really well for Minnesota. They won the first five games against the White Sox. I think the first one the Sox won was like some sort of crazy, like giveaway, a typical Sox game. This just went the other way. Giveaway game. That was their, I think that was their first loss to the White Sox this year. So they had dominated the Sox early. And by the end of the first half, that Sunday game, it was like the Twins had sort of given up, very strangely, sort of almost given up. And now we've seen like a, sort of a distinct lack of heart in this team that's flared up in a way that you wouldn't think for a second place team that's, you know, within, I think, a game and a half of first place. You think this is going to be a an achievable dagger in the Twins? I mean, granted, a month left, so there's a lot of twists and turns still to come. But, you know, you got to sort of stomp on these guys while you can. And the White Sox do have them on their heels.
I 100% agree. I think the Twins made some really great acquisitions at the trade deadline that I was really impressed by. And I think similar to how the New York Yankees did the same thing, it's not panning out for them as well as they had hoped to. And, you know, that's the gamble you take when you make trades at the deadline, right? But I think obviously the momentum's in the White Sox, you know, on the White Sox side for tomorrow to take this sweep and really, you know, put a dagger in them and hopefully, you know, tie them for second place at least. But I think the other piece of it is, you know, the dugout is different right now. I really think, I mean, you know, whether you want to speak about it, TLR not being there or whatever, the dugout is different. You can tell at the stadium the last two nights, you know, I was there Friday and I was there today. Like, I just think the attitude has changed. And I don't know if that's because TLR is gone or Miguel Cairo is just coming at it with from a different angle. You know, obviously Cairo is still talking to Tony, but I think there's been a shift and I think it's for the better. You know, I think I can pinpoint a lot of times where I was like, is the season going to turn around? You know, they walked off the Yankees 3-2 there earlier in the season. Luis Robert hit a grand slam against the Twins when they were there right before the All-Star break. And then, you know, we took two from the Astros. And at all of those points, I was like, this might be it. This might be the point that we turn it around. And I think if the Sox are going to make a push, this start by Dylan Cease and this win by the team is going to be that game that everyone pinpoints to say that was the point in which they decided they were going to take the league.
Yeah, we've had many podcasts. We have many moments in the season just as fans saying, okay, this is, and you know, a lot of it is wish, you know, it can be wishful thinking. When you sweep New York, I want to say that was a Sunday doubleheader. I mean, when you sweep the Yankees at a time when they were pretty hot, and let's face it, they've been hot most of the year. You know, that was an early point. They came out of the gate for the season. They were the best team through eight games. The last time we can remember the White Sox being a team we were truly, truly proud of and thought, man, these guys can't be stopped. And it's just been a struggle since and some really ugly stretches. So you're right. You try to seize like two games against the Astros and then, you know, they sort of flop and give, you know, give two right back. And, you know, tomorrow could be a momentum gut punch too, because, you know, it's tough to sweep anywhere, any team. Can be the Royals. The White Sox have proven it's hard to sweep the Royals. So, you know, this is not going to be an easy task, but they could really use this, you know, doubly because they're going to be heading into Seattle and that team's a buzzsaw right now. And yep. Oakland, let's face it, Oakland's lousy, but they're managed to be teams. I think they've swept Houston not long ago. And, you know, they're playing at home. They're going to be very hard to, you know, I mean, you'd be happy to get a split there, you know, in four games. So this is not going to be an easy stretch. This might be the last really tough stretch for the Sox for the rest of the season. But, you know, the timing could be rough given that we got this, you know, this high moment, you know, both with the individual achievement, but then how the team is doing and getting right back into it. And you'd really hate to see this next week where, you know, sort of the air gets let back out of the tire.
Yeah, yeah. I think tomorrow is kind of a must win in my head because, like you said, you're going to Seattle. You're going to be at T-Mobile Park at a team that I think after tonight has won five games in a row or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, Seattle's red hot. Obviously, I'm very grateful that they're beating Cleveland right now, you know, because we're able to gain some ground there. But, you know, that makes me nervous. And I think we talked about it the other night. No team has been easy for us to beat, whether they're under 500 or above 500. So I don't want to take any opponent with a grain of salt. So yeah, I think tomorrow is a must win going out to the West Coast for sure.
Okay, at what point, getting back to tonight's game, Allie, at what point, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on here. You've got the big offense. You've got, okay, it's Irish, whatever, Irish crazy night. You don't get your shirt, a big crowd, whatever. Okay. Crazy offense right off the bat. And you must have been like, wow, this is a special birthday treat for me because holy cow, you know, they scored in the first inning and they're, you know, they're dominating the Twins. They knocked the pitcher out early. And then you got, you know, Dylan Cease, you know, going on here. A lot of stuff, you know, going on, a good birthday overall.
Yeah. Yeah. I was at the Wacky Walk-Off on Friday, and then, we booked a hotel in Chicago. And so we spent the night, down right by the Riverwalk on Friday night, did brunch this morning, and then went to Cork and Carrie before the game and got into the stadium and got to see the win. So I would say overall, a really great kickoff to 25 for sure.
Now at what point, I mean, it's your birthday. You want to be able to celebrate. You want to be, I mean, who knows, maybe you want to, like, you know, go see people at the park or whatever, you know, Jackie's probably saying, hey, he's still doing it. And you're like, okay, yeah, I've caught up now. All right, Jackie. Okay. You got your shirt. Okay. At what point are, you know, this is a no hitter thing. Did you just not leave your seat?
I mean, yeah. So I got up to walk around. I think it was like the fourth inning. I was not in my seat when Romy hit his home run. And then after they batted that inning, I went back to my seat and stayed there. I will say I really had to use the restroom during the top of the bottom of the eighth inning.
And oh my God, that's bad timing.
There were five of us total that went to the game tonight, and all of us were like
dancing.
But I refuse, obviously, like, you know, you never know when bottom of an inning is going to end to roll over to Dylan Cease potentially throwing a no hitter. So, yeah, I stayed in my seat, I think from the bottom of the seventh through the end of the game, I was in my seat. 'Cause at that point you're something's going to happen, whether it's good or bad. And yeah. I didn't want to miss anything. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you could have seen, you know, 10 no hitters and it's still like, no, I'm not going to take this one for granted. Of course, exactly. you know, it's not because it's like rules. It's just, you don't want to miss anything, especially, you know, come on, you got to go to the bathroom. You could get caught in that line for, you might still be there. So, you know,
exactly.
Come on.
Jeez. Exactly. I mean, I never leave a game early. That's for sure.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding. Hopefully. Yeah. I get, apparently, you know, everybody has provided proof they were there at the end of the game from the Southside Sox crew at least. So yes, no faux pas there. Boy, imagine leaving a no hitter early. That would not be, you know, come back, you know, I mean, I guess that happens, and comebacks can be crazy, but you know, come back for a walk off is one thing, but boy, you leave like the start of a no hitter, you better be very, very ill, or, you know, about to give birth or something. Yeah, this schedule is pretty, I mean, it's the AL Central, so the schedule can only be so hard. And I'm guessing that Minnesota and Cleveland don't really have it any harder than the White Sox. Although Minnesota, we're kicking them to New York after this. And this could really prove to be, as much as the Twins were hoping to somehow like stick a knife in the Sox and kill them for the season. Well, haha. I mean, look what's happening here. This could really be the road trip for them that does kill their season. I mean, they could conceivably go 0-for on this road trip, not knowing whether it's a two series or not, but they're going to New York next. And of course, New York's a great team. And
are they doing Yankees or Mets?
I don't know. I thought it was the Yankees. Well, Yankees or, oh, okay. Let's just say Yankees or Mets. They're in trouble. I think it's the Yankees. I think they're going to play the Yankees. I could be wrong, but
I would prefer them to see the Mets personally, just because the Yankees are only four games up on the Rays at this point. The Yankees have really crashed and burned here after the All-Star break. So they're going to New York for the Yankees. So
you don't count out those Rays, Allie. You just don't count them out.
I know.
You don't know how they do it, but you can't count them out. They were like dead earlier in the season. I mean, in the playoffs, but dead, you know, not by our standards. They'd be very alive by White Sox fan standards, but
yeah.
You know, for a team that won, you know, however many they won last year, and, you know, we're World Series favorites coming in this year, they struggled a little bit. And yeah, good. Catch them, Rays, catch them. But yeah, the rest of the schedule, they get past this West Coast thing, and, you know, it's not smooth sailing, but it's not bad. They got, you know, some brawls still left, of course, with the Twins, home and home still after this. and still playing Cleveland. I think a home and home too. But then they got Detroit. I mean, there's some stuff. There is opportunity. But schedule aside, if this team plays like it's supposed to, and that's such a big if, and they're not complete, they're not healthy, and there are some guys who even healthy are just not playing well enough to say, okay, this is what I thought they'd be in April. But if this team is playing the way we've seen them playing, you know, you've seen them in person and just the last couple of games playing, I mean, this is still, as much as it's bold to say, this is still on paper the team to beat.
100%. I think, you know, injuries aside, the difference between the team last year to this year that I always compare it to is last year when there were major injuries, which we had, you know, very similar major injuries. It was the next man up. Like, there was always this mentality of like, I'm going to pick up the slack where this injured person is. And up until this point, I've always felt like it was there in spurts, and it's never, you know, same thing with like win streaks and everything. So I finally feel like, you know, Romy Gonzalez is doing a really great job picking up some slack there. Josh Harrison's been filling in really well at third base. Elvis is playing some really great shortstop and really giving some offense where offense is needed. So I think things are clicking. And I don't know if that's, you know, a little bit of momentum here and a little bit of a shift in the clubhouse. But yeah, I think given the talent that's on that roster, you know, Elvis said this is the most talented team he's ever played for. So
bold.
For sure the team to beat, right?
Bold. Hey, listen, although I did promise that Allie could still have some of her 25th birthday, and we are coming up pretty close to the official end of it, we don't want to forget those important commercial sponsors of the vaunted Southside Sox Mothership podcast and all the affiliated podcasts with Southside Sox. Because guess what? If I stop talking, we're going to take a break, come back with us in a minute, and we're going to finish up with, I don't know, something. There's still more to talk to about a person who just witnessed a one-hitter by Dylan Cease, Allie Wessel. We'll be back in just a minute.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, White Sox fans. Well, I'll figure out what podcast we're doing. It's not the Mothership podcast. Of course it isn't. It's the post-game, whatever. What do we call it? Post-game number 12. You know, okay, so it wasn't a no-hitter. Sorry, it's not as thrilling as listening to one about Carlos Rodon, where I think Crystal O'Keefe and Joe Reese's joined me, and we were just agog and so impressed. We had no idea what was in store in 2021. It just seemed like, ooh, maybe something could be happening. And something did happen. Now, this year's the reverse. Really lousy season to this point, and just 2 days ago, Allie, among a crowd of other Southside Sox newcomers, we all spoke and we all pretty much shook our heads and sighed heavily when asked to predict whether or not the White Sox would actually be a playoff team. And of course, before the break, we sort of revealed that we're feeling a little more optimistic. But really, a lot has changed in maybe the last couple, three games. You've got Cleveland really decimated by injuries, forgotten how to hit, a team that surprisingly was pretty solid offensively for the year, now suddenly not being able to generate runs, playing a difficult opponent in the Mariners, but still not able to generate anything at all, which is no way to bring it home. You know, Minnesota falling, you know, sort of falling, Ben is injured and sort of been as stop and start as the White Sox here for a while now. And the White Sox finally sort of getting some wind under them. And, you know, in your gut, you know, not just working off the fumes of halfway to St. Patrick's Day and a 25th birthday, you know, have things changed really in just a matter of maybe a few games for you?
I hate to say it, but I have a little bit of hope, and it's creeping back in there. But then again, I really felt this way when they took two from the Astros there to start. So I don't want to get my hopes up too high, but there's definitely some hope creeping in there, especially when you're facing some head-on division rivals, right?
Yeah, they're going to have to earn it. There's no doubt. Hey, they're going to have to earn it against Detroit, for crying out loud. So yeah, they are going to have to earn it. But you know, Allie, it's so easy to be. And listen, I'm a fan I've been a fan longer. Allie, I now know that you've been alive. So, you know, I have the right to really be the cynical fan, right? But it's so easy to be cynical. It's so cheap to be cynical. It's so easy to be garrulous about it and say, I'm just going to sit back and wait for them to choke. Because let's face it, only one of these three teams is going to win it. And I'm not sure that somehow, like the, you know, 538 and baseball prospectus and all that, I don't know that the odds have adjusted to the degree that now the White Sox are somehow the favorites. And we know it's only going to be a division, and no central team is going to get a wild card without some sort of natural disaster. So, you know, it's really division, you know, or nothing. And I know it sounds like we're talking ourselves into something, and, you know, you're going to work off the fumes of a one hitter dominant performance by your Cy Young candidate, and realizing there's a couple guys in Lance Lynn who suddenly is sort of like woken up and said, okay, I'm ready. You know, let's just bust it for this last month. And Johnny Cueto, who's, you know, had a couple off games that otherwise he's been the guy, he's taken more of an innings load than even Cease has this year. I mean, that's a big three, and it's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be tough for the Sox to have a sustained, they're clicking at all tough just because of this pitching, to have a sustained stagnant streak, because the, you know, Cease is going to throw this, you know, two hit game, and, you know, maybe the White Sox will actually bunt one run in and win.
Yeah, for sure. I think we talked about this 2 days ago too. Like, it's always seemed like nothing is clicking at the same time for the Sox. Like, the starting pitching is great, but the relief pitching is terrible, or the hitting is great, but Lucas Giolito gives up 6 runs in 4 innings or something like that. So I think really the telltale sign of, are they going to be able to take the division, is, can we get all cylinders firing at the same time? Obviously today, Dylan Cease, dominant pitching performance, dominant offense. Both things happened at the same time. We win a game. You know, is that a different story if we can't see the pitching right away and we're not, you know, scoring 4 runs on 11 pitches there? I don't know. I don't want to assume, because that wasn't the result. But, you know, I think whatever way you chalk it up, really what it's going to come down to is everything has to be rolling at the same time.
You have at least the last two victories under your belt. This one tonight, a particularly special one. Are you feeling mild pressure, medium, normal pressure, or enormous pressure to have to show up on September 13th to see the Rockies come into town for the next home game? So that you, do you feel a personal responsibility to keep this home winning streak going?
No.
You're all right.
For a very long time, I became one of those superstitious people of, oh, if I turn the game on while they're winning, I'm going to ruin something, or, you know, vice versa. And I've finally gotten to a point where I'm like, they're going to do whatever they're going to do, and I can't control what they're doing on the field. As much as I would love to control it, I will never be able to. So I will be at my humble abode in Wisconsin, watching on the TV.
Yeah. Not a game you would have circled, say, at the start of the season, to make sure to have to get to the 2-game Rockies series in mid-September. So I don't blame you. All right. Well, I won't specifically disclose it yet, but yes, there will be undisclosed fines levied to Tyrone Palmer, Elizabeth, Jackie, for being at the game but refusing to show for this delightful, not that I didn't want to spend all my time with you, Allie, but delightful post-game podcast, being able to discuss really some interesting and sort of firsthand sights and sounds from you there, Allie. And certainly, hopefully this just makes it additionally memorable. You know, I've seen a no-hitter. I've seen a perfect game. I've seen some near ones as well. And, you know, come on, they always stick out. And those are the ones that no matter how long you extend as a fan, you always remember those, especially this being the first one. You'd be like, okay, I was there when the White Sox season turned around.
I hope 5 weeks from now, that is what I am saying. I really do, Brett. I really do.
Yeah, that would be nice. And then we'll have this podcast to look back at. It'll be a highlight podcast. It's going to get nostalgia listens. Sweet.
Yes.
Sweet. Yes. Well, one more time, Allie, because it hasn't happened enough on Twitter and on our Slack and even on this podcast. Happy birthday to you. Thank you. I'm glad that the White Sox and Dylan Cease gave you a terrific one. Somehow, maybe something was in the air. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't just halfway. Do you get upset having to share your birthday with halfway to St. Patrick's Day, Allie? Be honest.
No.
You get overlooked. Like, you don't get as many gifts because it just happens to fall on that holiday halfway to St. Patrick's Day. No, you haven't noticed that?
No, I've never noticed that. I only notice when it falls on Labor Day weekend, you know.
Oh, yeah. I got other places to go.
I'm happy to share in a little Irish jig music over speakers.
That's carried you home.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for taking just a little bit of time out on that birthday on a big, big night for Dylan Cease and the White Sox. And let's hope this is just the start of something big. Again, welcome to the site. Hey, listen, you got the second podcast on your belt. You're ahead of all those other people. And, you know, really, again, the fine is forthcoming to Elizabeth, because really, come on, we know she was there. And even as a new member, did not show up for this podcast, which is fine. Thanks everybody for listening. Hope you enjoyed our little, you know, I know it's Sunday now. I mean, come on. Sorry. It's not really a true post game podcast, but yeah, it is. We're here. We're talking right after. She promised a raspy voice, not raspy whatsoever. It's like, did she go to the game? But okay. You know, Allie, terrific guest. Thank you for the firsthand knowledge of the ball game. I'm glad it was an exciting one.
I appreciate it. And if you want the video of me screaming after Luisa Rise got the single, I have it. I'll send it to you.
Beep, 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 beep. Yep. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I'm sure it wasn't just you. But yeah, hey, thanks everybody for tuning in, watching, reading, all that stuff. Hope you enjoyed our one hitter night coverage. It certainly was a fun one. Bird app, six pack. Gamer from Die, and you know, we're covering the whole road trip coming up, and hopefully we're just going to be covering the White Sox going from also ran, I mean, what, three games under 500 just like seconds ago to, let's just go ahead and say it, let's speak into existence, 2022 AL Central champs. Let's make it happen, Sox. This is the time to do it. This is the anchor leg. So let's get into motion, starting with hopefully a sweep of the beloved, hated Minnesota Twins. Thank you for delivering those two victories for us, Allie. Your presence there was crucial. And welcome again to Southside Sox. Great to have you. And hey, let's do a podcast again some other time. Maybe a post-game podcast for a future no-hitter.
Here's to hoping.
Yeah, here's to hoping. There's your slogan, no, whether a older or a younger White Sox fan. That is our slogan. Here is to hoping. So yeah, let's hope it happens. Come on, White Sox. Keep the pedal to the metal. Thanks, Allie, for taking time out. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back with podcasts sooner than you're probably ready.